This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show until tomorrow, which is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So that'll be extra fun. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We're going to get back to your Valentine's questions for Valentine's horrible Valentine's stories here in a few. I need to do a couple things first, though. Yes. In case you're wondering, and many are, there's tons of extra juicy stuff that came out of the Fannie Willis trial today. One of the doozies is Fannie Willis admitting to a crime?
Whole life, when I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you...
I know it's common in political circles, especially in this era where we're all mad about something, to think that politicians, when they raise money for a campaign, that they can just spend it on themselves. That's not legal. You don't just get to raise a bunch of money and then go to, I mean, I kept some of that for myself.
Whole life, when I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you.
You can't do that. That's not allowed. I just want to give you a heads up. All right, I'm gonna do something else. The Kansas City shooting was a big deal yesterday. We talked about it a lot. And the truth is, obviously, it's not a gun control thing or anything like that. It's a bunch of gangbangers shooting at each other in a crowded place. I'm sure someone did someone wrong, either there or in another life. And that's the way it goes, right? You get involved in that life, that's the way it goes. And I want to tell you, it actually makes me extremely sad how so many people have to live. I had spent a bunch of time in Baltimore one time. I was doing some work there, and I really, it was an eye-opening experience for me to spend a lot of time in Baltimore. I've done the same thing in Philadelphia, and occasionally my time there would take me in the really, really poor black parts of town. And if you've never been, it is like you are in a third world country. I had never been in an American neighborhood where houses routinely did not have windows in them. And I don't mean the glass was broken. There was no frame. People lived there without a window in the home. And I look at this headline, and everyone's using it today to dunk on black people, right? Black Americans account for 60% of firearms homicides each year. That's awful. And that's so heartbreaking, what has happened to the black community in this country. I don't think a lot of people understand how much the black community was thriving even during the horrible days of segregation. The black community was beginning to thrive post-slavery in America. A lot is made today, and understandably so, justifiably so, of the fatherless home problem in the black community. It's like 70%. It's staggering. Did you know, before the Great Society stuff, before the LBJ war on poverty stuff, that 75% of black children grew up in a two-parent home? Things were going so well. They were going so well. And then those evil Democrats decided, hey, we can blow up this whole community and get their votes for life. And now Americans grow up in war zones, in hell holes, and it's awful. And their own leaders abuse them without end. Just abuse them without end. Listen to this story out of Chicago. Listen to this. Mayor Brandon Johnson.
The campaign promise fulfilled. Mayor Brandon Johnson is ending the city's use of the controversial gunfire surveillance system known as ShotSpotter. The city's contract with the company behind ShotSpotter expires on Friday, and the police will stop using the technology September 22nd, about a month after the Democratic National Convention. A city statement said, Moving forward, Chicago will deploy its resources on the most effective strategies and tactics proven to accelerate the current downward trend in violent crime.
In case you're wondering what ShotSpotter is, it was a piece of tech that could detect gunfire and pinpoint it so Chicago PD could rapidly mobilize to that area. Well, it was always pinpointing gunfire in the black neighborhoods because they're ravaged by the drug gangs right now. And so they're eliminating it. Now, what does that do to the innocent people in those neighborhoods? They already were living in a freaking war zone. A war zone. People dying every day. 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds starting the life of crime. Poor kids trying to get to school without getting jumped and then trying not to get shot when you get there. And their own mayor does it to them. Abused time and time again. Listen to this one out of D.C.
We can tell you that, again, the house is surrounded by police. This entire neighborhood is sealed off. There are police presence everywhere. We have at least 2 schools in the area that are on lockdown. We're in front of KIPP D.C., which is allowing students to come inside who are arriving at school right now. It's very difficult to get anywhere in this neighborhood, either by foot or car, because so many of these roads are closed off.
People live like that in this country. American citizens live like that. And I think it's freaking sad. That is so sad that people have to live this way. And the condition of the urban black community. Remember, these are urban ghettos. This isn't all black people. That's freaking ridiculous. My next door neighbor's black. He and I hang out all the time. But the urban black community and what has been done to it and the way people have to live, it's awful. Rampant violence. And you can't ever address it from either side. The right is too afraid of its shadow. Well, what if somebody calls me a racist? And, you know, the communists will never want it addressed at all because they get more and more power from just ravaging these communities. It's freaking sad, man. Whatever. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go to your bad Valentine's Day stories. Chad, Vermont, go.
Well, my wife wanted sushi for dinner, and I was running late from work. I stopped. It was about an hour wait. I wasn't waiting. So I went to the little gas station, picked up some gas station sushi. She had the same reaction you did the next day, and I spent about a week. I spent the next week in the guest bedroom, and our MyPillow sheets were mighty cold that month.
I'm sorry, Chad. Oh, gas station sushi. What were you thinking? You'd be better off getting her a bag of chips.
Well, I thought it'd work out. She'd come all of them down. Not my fault.
That's terrible. You guys are terrible. Billy, Alabama, go.
Hey, man. Several years ago, we went to a Mexican restaurant for Valentine's, and we met up with friends of a friend, and they were there when we got there. Well, they were drinking margaritas and everything else. So, a little while later, they get up to use the restroom, and they never came back. So we got up to go pay for our meal, and they were going to pin the other people's bill on us, too. They were going to call the cops on us. They were calling us the next day. It was ridiculous.
Margaritas are friggin' expensive, too. Well, at least anymore they are. Who knows? They were probably 50 cents back then before the government destroyed our money. Robert, Ohio, go.
Hey, Tuesday night, me and my wife got a little argument. Then yesterday morning, I went on Facebook, put some various pictures of my dog, and wrote a love letter to her. And so afternoon, I called my wife, and she said what? And I was like, what do you mean what? She goes, I wish you loved me as much as you love your stupid dog. Oh. And then she hasn't really talked to me since.
Robert, go home and apologize. You can't take your fights onto social media. You can't do that. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. We need to get to this George Soros stuff, how the system actually works. Looks like the system's taking care of its own. More of your bad Valentine's Day stuff. Gosh, what a great night. All right. We'll be back. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. It's time for a little wisdom. We all need some from time to time. I know I certainly do. You probably do. Let's sit back. You might learn something.
I say many times, especially to the young folks that I mentor, you know, we can think of history as being a relay race. And of course, there are then those who carried the baton before us. And then they passed the baton to us. And we who are in this room right now,
pay attention. Pay attention. This is the important part.
We hold the baton. And I do believe that the ancestors, that the founders, and we are talking about the founding mothers and fathers of our country, by the way. I do believe that they didn't necessarily think that we would end the race. But charged us with a responsibility to do as much and as best as we could while we carry the baton for our part of the race.
And then we hand the baton off to the next generation like a relay race. It's pretty profound. It's heavy stuff. Let's get to some emails here. Senior Salt Bay of the South. Senior, sorry. After seeing the headlines about flop after flop from Hollywood while these actors still make their million-dollar salaries every single time, is Hollywood actually a form of communism? I mean, after all, these movies are losing millions of dollars, yet no one seems to be hurting for income. Oh, they're hurting for income. They are. This is kind of how it works. And we've talked about this before, but it's probably necessary to talk about it again. When we talk about things like ESG and DEI, we've brought this up, but here's how it works in the system. Remember, I call it the system. For you new listeners, the evil institutions that have now united against us, the government, the education system, media, FBI, education, all of it, they've all united into what I call the system. Well, you want to, if you want an easier, more profitable life, yet you'll be an evil piece of trash, you want to be part of the system. You want your system membership card. If you want a more difficult life, less profitable, cost yourself opportunities, cost yourself money, stand against the system. The system incentivizes staying part of it, remaining part of it, all right? So one of the benefits of having a system membership card is you can only fall so far. And in general, you can't fall at all. They'll simply hand you back and forth the different parts of the system. Well, here's a great example. It's actually a story from today or yesterday. Remember Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs? He, of course, stepped down. He's no longer chairman of the Joint Chiefs. What's Mark Milley doing now? He's going to make a fortune teaching at Princeton and Georgetown. You know, you want to know, we've all made fun of Mark Milley for talking about white rage in front of Congress. We've all raged about Mark Milley telling the communist Chinese that he would warn them before Trump attack. We've raged that Mark Milley became a system-serving loser while being chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But the thing was always, Mark Milley knew he had a system membership card and he wanted to maintain that system membership card. And if he made sure that card was in good standing, he knew when his time as chairman of the Joint Chiefs was up, he would be well taken care of. You see this time and time again. Here's another example right here. They didn't even do this on purpose. You know Biden's decision to pause national gas exports? He just made this decision recently. It's horrific. You know, it'll destroy the economy, destroy our energy, whatnot. You know who was behind that decision? John Podesta, the famous political operative who was behind Hillary and all. He's been knee-deep involved in commie politics forever. John Podesta's brother is a lobbyist who's going to make a fortune because of this decision. That's exactly how it works in Hollywood. Yeah, the studios want to make money, and they don't want to lose money on movies. And the actors are always going to get paid. The talent always gets paid no matter what. But you can only fall so far when you are Hollywood and you run the party line at all times. When's the last time you sat down for a major blockbuster Hollywood movie and saw any kind of a message that was pro-America, or even, you know, forget America, forget that, pro-family? When's the last time you sat down and watched a Hollywood movie with a man and a woman raising their children, and that was a central part of the story and treated as a good part of the story? Name me the last movie you saw like that. You can't. It was years ago, I guarantee it. Or it was a foreign film. You know, that we watched that, took Ob and the kids to that new Godzilla Minus One movie. And it was just a great movie, just good old-fashioned action movie. Godzilla's tearing things up. People are struggling, trying to fight back. What do? No garbage in it. No DEI crap. No political messaging. No rainbow flags. Why? It was made in Japan. It's a Japanese movie. They didn't do that. Hollywood understands you take the party line, you can get by. Now, how does that work in non-Hollywood businesses? Well, your bank. Why does your bank have an ESG page? They do. I bet you they do. Why does your bank have an ESG page? Your bank has an ESG page because your bank deals with money. Money needs to flow. Sometimes your bank may need money to flow in to cover some shortfalls and whatnot. And your bank understands that if they've got their system membership card in good standing, then in general, they will be taken care of. You need cash flow? Hey, this guy's paid his dues. This guy's paid his dues. Come on. This little community bank, they need some help out here. Your community bank doesn't toe the party line? Well, too bad. Guess you're going out of business. That's how it works. All right. Bad Valentine's Day stories. Some more of them. 877-377-4373. Pretty rough story about training accidents and deaths in the military. George Soros. Some emails. We have just so much to get to. It's unbelievable. I want to first tell you about Chuck, though. We have to focus on caring for ourselves in natural ways now, more than we ever have before. No, we're never going to completely, hopefully, we'll never have to completely abandon the traditional medical institutions. But you know what I know. You've seen what I've seen over the past few years. It's time to find a better way. Testosterone levels in free fall is a disaster for this nation. But it's equally disastrous to go find a big pharma solution for that. Get a natural solution. That's where Chalk comes in. A male vitality stack from Chalk will have your T levels up 20% in 90 days. You don't even need to wait forever. 90 days and you will feel so much better. There's a female vitality stack for the ladies. Everything is massively discounted for subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription until February is over, and then that's over. Go to chalk.com, CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget to send in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I owe somebody a thank you. I don't know who called in and gave me a heads up. I did not know this. I didn't realize it. But Chuck Mawhinney died a couple days ago on the 12th. Now, if you don't know who Chuck Mawhinney is, that's fine. Even his wife didn't truly understand who he was. Who was Chuck Mawhinney? In Vietnam, Chuck Mawhinney was a Marine Corps sniper. Chuck Mawhinney, while he was in Vietnam, he got himself the record, the Marine Corps record for most confirmed kills, 103, if I remember right. And he had over 200 probable kills to go on top of his 103 confirmed kills. That's not only very cool. I think the second coolest part of that story is, okay, so you go to Vietnam. You're a Marine Corps sniper, and look, that was a very dangerous profession, and they were very, very necessary over there, and that's something, right? You kill 103 people on behalf of your country. Look, let's be honest. He killed 300 plus on behalf of his country. You walk away a hero by any sense of the word. He retires. He gets married. He has kids. And if I remember right, in his story, I think it was 20 years before his wife and sons knew anything about what he did. He simply didn't tell anybody. No, it wasn't just like he kept a secret from his wife or something. He just didn't talk about it. He went over war hero, and he just went back and worked, I think, for the Forest Service or the Park Service or something like that. What a freaking boss. What a boss. And anyway, he passed away, obviously more than worthy of taps. Rest in peace, warrior. Rest in peace, brother. All right. You know what? Enough. Let's get to your Valentine's Day stories real quick. Johnny, Jersey, go.
Have the bar empty a magazine into Cupid's belly.
Yes, sir. Go on, brother.
So it's the 80s, and I'm a quasi-rock and roll star. I just got back from the West Coast where I made my second single called Pump and Pam. And I have a decent-sized harem, and one gets pregnant and plans on keeping it, which is fine by me. I love kids. But my father wouldn't let us live under his roof unless we were married. Kids are great, especially when you give them a big box full of cash for Christmas and they smile so wide that the corners of their mouth tickles their earlobes. Long story short, I should have just been a baby daddy, but I got married for the first time on February 14th, 1987, the real St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That sucks. I'm sorry, Johnny. Best of luck next time. Larry, Oregon, go.
Hello, Jesse. Hey, I have one that lasts a lifetime. I was getting a divorce in 1975, and the judge signed my divorce papers on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I've been married to my current wife now for 47 years. Wonderful lady. But there's not a Valentine's that doesn't either come up or just smack me in the brain, everyone.
I'm sorry, Larry. Well, at least you found a good one the second time around. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Marcus, Colorado, go.
Jesse, love that guy's Pure Talk phone. I'm on the same, as you know.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My last Valentine's Day was my ex-wife. I had filet mignon prepared, lobster prepared,
ooh,
and even baked a cake. Had a dozen yellow roses on the table instead of red, just to be different. So she comes home from work, everything's set and ready to go, and she says to me, "Hey, do you know what yellow roses signify?" And I said, "No, I have no idea. I just wanted to be different." And she goes, "They signify friendship, and that's the path we're about to take right now."
So,
that's my punch in the gut story, man.
Oh, ouch. What do the white ones signify? Chris, will you look that up? I got white ones yesterday. Did I mess something up? I hope she's not listening right now. Chris, figure that out. Tony, Florida, go.
Hey, what's up? I've been married with my wife for 2 years now. She's a night nurse. I'm in law enforcement. For 2 years, she's been telling me she hates Valentine's Day, doesn't want anything. I wake up day before Valentine's Day. She brings up, "I don't want nothing." I go to work. My wife doesn't want nothing. I get home. She wakes up. She's crying because they didn't get her nothing. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, all you got to do is say you want something. I actually was going to get her a pennant with my badge, like, made for it. And she's like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't like Valentine's Day. It's a made up day. It's a made up holiday. And then listen, I get home.
The truth is, sorry, Tony, but I gotta check out. The truth is, you never, ever, ever believe them when they say they don't want to celebrate these holidays. That's exactly right, Chris. It's a trap. It's a trap every single time. Even if she doesn't know, she's trapping you. She is trapping you. And you will pay. And you will pay for it. Now, all right, it's something obviously a lot more serious than this stuff, which is, it's fun. We've had 36 troops killed in 1 year in military aviation mishaps. My friend Christina Wong wrote a it's a really sad article about it in Breitbart if you want to go read. It's got the details, but it's happening a lot. And you remember we've talked about standards and how we're lowering standards, and we've talked about the piloting standards and how things are going downhill in the military. Man, this is starting to happen way too often. Our guys are not getting enough flight time. They're not getting enough experience. When they do get flight time, oftentimes the equipment is in bad shape. The rot inside of our military that normal people don't see is really bad, and it friggin' sucks because it gets people killed a lot. This stuff is happening way too often, man. Way too often. So we'll stay on it, right? All we can do is stay on it. All we can do is keep raising the alarm, demanding better from our representatives, but we'll see how it goes. All right, speaking of the fallen, those people left families behind. They signed up to serve this country, those men and women, and now they're gone. And their families are still there. What do you do when dad doesn't come home? When mom doesn't come home? Tunnel to Towers helps. You and I, we might read an article about it, or we'll play taps. And, you know, I know you salute and it tugs at your heart. It tugs at mine. But then we move on to the next story and the next day and everything else, right? Well, those kids don't move on. The wife doesn't get to move on. Tunnel to Towers steps in once we've moved on, helping fallen first responder families, Gold Star families, helping them in tangible ways, building them their own special community in Florida so they can live together and heal together and lean on each other. This is such a blessed mission. And go look up their charity rating. I've told you this before. I don't want you to take my word for it. Don't ever take my word for a charity. Go look them all up. The money goes where you want it to go. All they ask for is $11 a month. $11 a month at Tunnel to Towers. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, we'll do one more, then I want to get to a couple other things here as we wrap things up. Well, Bob, Massachusetts, go.
So the real name of the holiday is St. Valentine's Day. So I didn't get a gift, and when she asked, I said, look, we're Jewish. We don't celebrate holidays named after saints. I can tell you that's not a winning argument.
What, Bob, why don't you walk us through exactly what her response was when you informed her that for religious purposes, she was not going to be getting anything for Valentine's Day?
It's a holiday for everybody, but guess not for you. And that was it. It was ugly. It was ugly. But, you know, it's been a few years. She's getting over it.
I'm sorry, Bob. Chris, you need to try that with your wife. Hey, sweetie, we're Jewish. Sorry. Wait, what, Chris? What? You like sleeping in your own bed? That's probably for the best. Did you hear this nutball Barbara Lee out of California? Okay, so there's something going on right now that actually does matter. And we've kind of ignored it because there's so much else going on. But California Democrats are currently having a primary. There's an open Senate seat in California. California is about to send another nutball senator to Washington, D.C. It does matter. It doesn't matter whether you're in California or not. California is majorly powerful. It is our most powerful state by a mile. The senators from California almost always get big committee assignments. They're very, very powerful people. So whoever emerges from this, well, it's the Democrat primary. It's not going to be a Republican. Whoever wins is going to be a problem for a long time. And the people running are all people you know and despise. Adam Schiff is running. Katie Porker is running. This nutball lady, Barbara Lee, is running. And in case you'd like to know how the Democrat primary is going in California, just take a listen to Barbara Lee.
You're calling for a $50 an hour federal minimum wage. That's seven times the current national minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Can you explain how that would be economically sustainable for small businesses? You have 60 seconds.
First, let me say I owned and ran a small business for 11 years. I created hundreds of jobs. Benefits, retirement benefits, also health care benefits. I know what worker productivity means, and that means that you have to make sure that your employees are taken care of and have a living wage. In the Bay Area, I believe it was the United Way, came out with a report that very recently, $127,000 for a family of four is just barely enough to get by. Another survey very recently, $104,000 for a family of one, barely enough to get by, low income because of the affordability crisis. And so just do the math. Just do the math. Of course, we have national minimum wages that we need to raise to a living wage. You're talking about $20, $25, fine. But I have got to be focused on what California needs.
She knows she's a destroyer. Don't bother sitting there giving her economics lessons about how that would either eliminate virtually every small business. It would cause rampant youth unemployment like you've never seen because entry-level jobs just simply wouldn't be available. Businesses, no business, large or small, can afford to pay young, unskilled workers $50 an hour. Don't even try to lecture her about the fact that the cost of everything in this already expensive area would skyrocket and people who already can't get by would be in even worse shape. The truth is that Barbara Lee knows this. She's 8,000 years old. She used to run a business, but Barbara Lee is a destroyer. Barbara Lee is a communist. They're all communists running to be that senator in California. These people know they're destroyers. They don't care. They will burn it all to the ground for power. It's really, really sad. But that's just a little clue as to how things are going out there in the California Democrat primary. Now, let me give you a clue about your dog's food. Your dog's food is not good. It's dead. I should just say it's dead. There's a reason all dog food is brown. Your dog's food is brown, isn't it? Do you know why it's brown? Brown things are dead things. They take everything in your dog's food and they kill it on purpose in the factory. Did you know a dog in general won't even eat the dog food coming out of a factory until they spray it down with lard before they put it in the bag? Did you know that? That's how dead it is. It's just like it's a piece of styrofoam. It's nothing. Your dog dies before he should die because your dog never gets real nutrition. Start giving your dog Rough Greens. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food and watch your dog come alive, and more specifically, stay alive. You'll see physical differences like you can't imagine in your dog. A healthier, better dog that goes to the vet less often. Free jumpstart trial bags at roughgreens.com/Jesse, or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Did you hear this one out of CNN? Remember when I had that theory that Mitch McConnell, he purposely put together this crappy border deal, amnesty deal, to give Democrats cover for an issue that was going to hurt them badly in an election year? This was interesting.
I heard from voters, and several of them said to me that they don't want to vote for the Republican because it's clearly impossible to get a solution on the issue of immigration. They said the border problem, the immigration issue, the migrant issue in their district was the top issue for them, and that the fact that Republicans killed that bipartisan deal put them over the edge to vote for Tom Suozzi.
That was the special election. That Tom Suozzi's that special election in New York. We just lost the seat that used to be Republican when we had George Santos. George Santos, who was convicted of no crimes and was removed from the House of Representatives by the GOP. Now a Democrat sits there, and a Democrat sits there in part because Mitch McConnell put together an amnesty deal to give Democrats cover in an election year. Pretty sobering, right? About as sobering as this little clip I played earlier of former CIA Director John McLaughlin bragging how the Central Intelligence Agency bucked the will of the American people and took down Donald
Trump.
The
impeachment inquiry is underway, sparked by a complaint from someone within the intelligence community. Feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state. With all of the people who knew what was going on here, it took an intelligence officer.
Yeah. Pretty sobering. Anyway, remember, before we go to headlines, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Tony Bobulinski says China tried to infiltrate and compromise the Biden family in the Obama White House. Now, I'm sure they were very unsuccessful at that. After all, it's not like the president allowed a Chinese spy plane to go from the Pacific to the Atlantic doing figure eights over our military bases. Turmoil inside the Biden administration. John Kirby expresses frustration over Karine Jean-Pierre's role. Like I said, the communists are always at each other's throats, and Karine Diversity Hire is going to be in trouble shortly. They need a better propagandist than her. George Soros Fund poised to take control of nation's second largest chain of radio stations. This is scary, and I quote, it's called Odyssey. It's number two behind iHeart. Yeah, what Odyssey? Anyway, that's probably not good. Also, we're out of time, but tomorrow we're going to have fun. You ready for some Ask Dr. Jesse fun? We'll do it tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.